Football in the spring, and a student representative on the Tennessee Higher Education Commission. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. And thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. There will be football. The Ohio Valley Conference has finalized plans for a football season to be played in the spring. Tennessee Tech is among seven schools that will be competing for a conference championship beginning in February. And Tennessee Tech head coach Dwayne Alexander joins us now. And football in the spring, boy, it sounds weird, but I'm sure that is music to your ears, Coach.
Well, you know, it is. I think, our coaches, myself personally, our coaching staff, and our players, the thing that everybody's been trying to seek and find through this whole corona situation is certainty.
Yeah.
You know, some type of at least, hey, what are we doing? Do we know what is next? You know, are we going to play? Et cetera. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we got the information from the NCAA that they are going to host FCS football playoffs and championships in the spring with a May 15th national championship game in Frisco, Texas, which has been the site of that game for the last, 8 or 10 years. The playoffs will start on April the 24th. They're going to take 16 teams. We normally take 24. They've cut that number to 16, but still allowing for every conference to have an automatic qualifier. So if you win the OVC, you're in the playoffs.
Oh, good.
So that's a positive. You know, there's 11 conferences going to get automatic bids. So if you win your league, you get in the postseason, and they're going to take five at large teams to make a 16-team field. Those will start on April the 24th. So with them releasing that news, then it gave all the conferences an opportunity to get together and say, okay, we're having championships. Let's play. Let's give our players an opportunity to compete for that. Let's give our student athletes, and I commend our conference office and the OVC and, our Mark and Wilson and all of our people for, at least, competing for our student athletes to have a chance to play. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, is give them an opportunity. So, the OVC met and came up with the seven-game schedule. EKU, East Kentucky, chose not to play in the spring. They played games this fall.
Right.
So we have a 17 conference schedule. So we're going to have a chance to compete for an OVC championship, a Sergeant York trophy, and an opportunity to play in the playoffs. And that's what our players, wanted to do. Now, is it going to look different? There's some Sunday games in there. We're going to play on Sundays instead of Saturday, the way it looks. And, it's definitely different to be playing a football game on February the 21st, that'll be unique, but, at least it's given some, certainty of what we're doing, and it can put together a plan. And then the last piece of that, the NCAA established some fall practice guidelines that would allow you to prepare for that. Similar to you just flip the season. So a chance to have what's called a fall ball, or basically spring practice that will be held in the fall, where, we can go out and put on shoulder pads and helmets and have some contact practices and, really get our guys back acclimated to playing, tackle football.
Now, when does Tennessee Tech have its fall practice? Have you all started that yet?
We haven't. We start here this Saturday. We're going to start here on this coming Saturday, which is going to be on the 17th. October the 17th will be our first practice, and we'll culminate on November the 14th, inter-squad game.
Oh, great.
It's a similar format that we would follow in the spring.
Yeah.
You get 34 days to get 15 practices in. Three of those are allowed to be, contact scrimmages, all the same rules that apply. They just take it and put them into the fall. And so that's kind of what's happened. So now we're going to obviously get our guys. They've been a while. It's been since last November, almost a full year since they've had home.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Seems
like it's been forever since, you wrapped up the 2019 season, the 6-6 record, a tremendous turnaround from the previous two seasons. Had all that momentum built up, ready to play, and really kind of had the rug pulled out from under you right before the season began. But now that there is going to be football in the spring, kind of what's the mindset of the team? I would think that they've maybe have some renewed enthusiasm, especially the seniors, knowing that they're going to compete for, like you said, a Sergeant York trophy and an OVC championship.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's what our guys, the mindset, really these guys were in a tough place mentally. Our staff was as well here in late July, August, because, you're seeing conferences that are canceling their season. You're seeing that people are not going to play in the fall. The NCAA then said, hey, we're not going to have playoffs. And then the OVC said, we're not going to have a schedule. And now, what's next? So now we do know what's next. And, our guys are confident. We feel like we're going to have a really, good football team. Mm-hmm. We're excited about where we're at. We're excited about the progress that we've made. Excited about, how our returning players have developed. And we're really excited about the new faces that we've added to our program from a recruiting standpoint. So, we're really excited about I've quit saying the 2020 season or the 2021 season. This is the team number 99 for Tennessee Tech football. So this is the 99th edition of Tennessee Tech football. Of course, we'll be celebrating 100 years of Tennessee Tech football in the coming years, So, for us, this is our, this team at some point is going to take the field, and play. And the important thing about these practices that we're going to get here, though, in October, November, buddies, it gives us a chance to really develop the personality and identity of this group of guys. Sure. We're good about who we have. We're confident about who we have. I really am excited about some new coaches that we've added to our staff, so a chance for all of us to really get in an environment and on the field, and competing out there together, I think will be very good for us. Our guys are ready for that next step. They're mm-hmm. kind of been in a, I wouldn't say a rut, but there's a point where, okay, we've been working out, we've been conditioning, yeah. we've been doing these things, it's time to take a next step. It's time to move, take another step toward getting back on the field and competing. So I feel good about where we're at mentally, that standpoint now, after we've had, a couple of months here of conditioning and workouts and some things we've been able to do with our team. Mm-hmm. We feel good physically. I like what I see. Our guys have come a long way. The 2.5 months we've been in the weight room since August, the conditioning that we've done, I think we're ready for it mentally and physically to take another step. And so we are excited, and morale for Tennessee Tech football is high.
Well, Tennessee Tech opens the 2021 or Team 99 season, as you call it, for the Golden Eagles on Sunday, February 21st. You host Austin Peay, which right out of the gate, that's going to be a great game. Then you come back by traveling to Jacksonville State the next week. So pretty good, pretty tough way to start the OVC schedule.
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out what we have. Right out of the gate, obviously those teams, there's not been the usual OVC media days, that we do in July and do the preseason, rankings and picks of what everybody's thoughts are. But, certainly Austin Peay was the conference champion last year, won a couple of playoff games. So they have a lot of talent, a lot of returning players coming back. I would think most coaches around the league would consider them certainly one of the top, favorite or one of the top two. And Jacksonville State would be always talented. They had a little bit of a down year for them as being 500, but they had a down year for them, last year.
Sure.
And, they were picked preseason, win the conference, and certainly have a lot of players that were on the preseason all conference team, a lot of returning talent. We saw they played a game this fall. We saw how they played Florida State.
Right.
They played those guys very tough, had a 14-0 lead. So they're always going to be talented. So really, along with Southeast Missouri State and UT Martin, I would consider those four teams to be, preseason, picks in some order. Everybody may have them a little different order, but I know Austin Peay and Jacksonville State will receive a lot of votes, as far as being the preseason, conference pick. And so we get both of those teams right out of the gate, which means this fall practice is extremely important.
Right.
What we do and this time that we're spending and what we do between now and, we play in February is going to be important, that we get ourselves ready to play, because you don't have a non-conference game or some of these other opportunities to really get your team, prepared for the season. You're going to start right out of the gate, put the ball down, and here's Austin Peay walking in here. So you're going to have to be ready to go.
And then in March, you host Murray State, and then I don't know how in the world you can't get away from that back-to-back trip of Eastern Illinois and Southeast Missouri. Consecutive weeks, you've got to travel to Eastern Illinois and Southeast Missouri, but you do in March, and then come home for TSU Easter weekend. That's a Saturday game, and wrap up with at UT Martin. So seven-game schedule, a chance to win the York Trophy, a chance to win the Ohio Valley Conference Championship. And, you know, I look at football in February, March, and April, and who knows what the weather is going to be in those months. I mean, you don't have a clue as what it's going to be like.
You don't. Years ago when I started my career, buddy, I was 1989 at Hendersonville High School. I was an assistant football coach. I was an assistant basketball coach, and I was a girls softball coach. And I remember coaching girls softball for 7 years in the spring.
Yeah.
And we would start tryouts in mid-February, you know, and we'd finish our season in May. And I remember I had everything in the trunk of my car, from a parka to a hooded sweatshirt to a t-shirt and shorts. You never knew, you know, what you were going to get. You know, I mean, and you don't. I mean, it's so unique here. We've had, some winters, you know, that have been tough, some that aren't. You know, some springs, you know, the weather can be – you can have everything from tornadoes to snow, you know. I mean, that's just going to be kind of part of it, you know, as far as that goes. But it'll be unique. And we're in a place to where – you know, I look at Eastern Illinois, you know, there's some other teams around the country that are much further north, you know, that'll be very unique for those guys.
Sure.
You know, playing. I look, original schedule, we were going to finish it this fall of 2020. If we'd have played, we were going to finish the season at EIU in the third week of November.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's looking totally different weather-wise, because we're going to be playing those guys, you know, at a different time. But, you know, you look at the conference schedule, they did give everybody the same, you know, everybody's got an open date on that March 6th weekend because of the OVC basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. That was the reason behind that, is that everybody, all the, you know, administrators and, you know, people that are responsible for helping you put on games, you know, that type of thing will all be in Evansville for the basketball conference tournament. So there's not a game that weekend, and then you've got five straight, you know, to finish up. And, you know, yeah, it will be unique playing on that time of year, but I do think there'll be some interest. There's no other football going on, but FBS football, a lot of the Division II schools have chosen not to play in the spring, so the FBS teams have decided to go ahead and play this fall. Even the teams that had opted out have now opted back in and are playing this fall, so we'll be the only game, you know, on, and there's not going to be much, you know, I think there'll be some interest in it, and people unique to you know, I think to watch it, I think people want to come out, you know, and see it. And so I think it'll be something, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. Playing on Sundays, you know, we're going to have Sunday games except for Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind that is basketball, you know, has doubleheaders. So we're going to be playing about every sport you got.
Yes.
Is all going to be playing at the same time, which is unique, you know. So you could have a home volleyball match, a soccer match, a doubleheader basketball, and football all on the same weekend.
A smorgasbord of sports at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, if you just drive over to campus, you can go watch something. You know, you can spend your whole day and probably watch two or three contests. So that's certainly going to be it's a challenge for all of our athletic administration, you know, to do that. And that's the reason some of the scheduling is still with the other sports are working on that, to try to not overload, you know, one school on a particular weekend.
Right.
And one of the factors in making football be played on Sunday afternoon, kickoff time somewhere between 1 and 3, mm-hmm. depending on travel, you know, for the, you know, for the other team, but, you know, either 1 p.m., 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. So you don't have, you know, you're not conflicting with some of the other sports that are taking place.
Well, let me ask you this, Coach. You've got a 2021 schedule in the spring. So could there be two football seasons in 2021? Will you turn around and come back and play a fall schedule in 2021?
Yes. I mean, that is the plan, to play the fall schedule. You know, the Football Oversight Committee, you know, that put all of this together, it's made up of college coaches and administrators and different people across the country that are, you know, that do this for the NCAA, you know, and the American Football Coach Association was involved.
Right.
You know, wanted to make sure that you give the proper breaks to the student athletes, you know, but if you look at it, really, we played our last game last year, you know, November 22nd, and then you come back in January and you start winter workouts and you have spring practice, you know, and spring practice typically ends for most teams, you know, sometimes mid-April, you know, April 15th or so. You know, then you have some time off and you come back and start again in August. And if you look, our last game is scheduled to be played April the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So, seven ball games is a little more heavy than having spring practice in the spring, but you still, the athletes are going to have a window, or time there to where, from April 10th to, May, June, July, they really won't be back on the field with a shoulder pad on, until early August,
sure.
So I think all those things are taken into consideration and why the NCAA set their championships the way they did. The reason they cut the field down, by eight teams was so they could eliminate an entire round of playoffs, or a couple of rounds there to make sure that if you played the national championship game, you're done May the 15th, and it still gives you a good window or break before you were to start back and play, your fall of 2021 schedule. So I think a lot of that was taken into consideration. And you're only playing seven games in the spring. You're not playing an 11 or 12 game schedule
right.
like you normally play in the fall. You're playing yeah. a shortened schedule, really, with some a break in there, an open date in there, and an opportunity. So I think from a student athlete standpoint, their health and safety was looked at with that, and I do think. Really based off of what has happened without COVID, the way the calendar's worked out, it's not really far off a calendar that we've always had for football.
Sure.
So I think everybody's looking to try to, get through this spring and then have a some type of hope that we can get back on a normal schedule, when
right.
it comes to just from recruiting and from summer and everything else and get back into more of a traditional year, but I know there's not just football. There's people all across the country in every walks of life are yearning for that a little bit as well.
Yep. Tennessee Tech head football coach Dwayne Alexander with us here on Tennessee Tech Today. Coach, looking forward to some spring football, also some fall football. You start in practice on Saturday, and that'll run for a few weeks into November. So good luck with that, but looking forward to seeing those Golden Eagles on the gridiron Sunday, February 21st against Austin Peay. Go ahead and mark it down on your calendars.
We're excited about that. And, I do want to let, people, our fans out there that listen, we're going to have to keep our practices closed. That's something we're doing for all of our sports, right now. I hate that. I've always had open practices and have had tons of – we'll always welcome our alumni or people that are, to come to our practices and to watch our football practices, but and our scrimmages on Saturday. But with – just with the state of everything right now, athletic administration, we've all decided, made a decision that's really in the best interest to kind of keep everything, closed and all of our practices will be closed. If there's any change of that or whatever, we'll make sure we get the word out.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Well, the Tennessee Higher Education Commission is the state's higher education coordinating board and is responsible for administration of the outcomes-based funding formula, approval of all new academic degree programs, development of the state master plan for higher education, serving as the hub for post-secondary data analysis and research, authorization and regulation of proprietary institutions, and serving as the state approving agency for veteran education benefits. Well, the commission has one student representative, and that student is Dawson Hassler from Tennessee Tech. And Dawson Hassler joins us now. And Dawson, first of all, tell me how you came to Tennessee Tech. What was it about Tennessee Tech that made you choose to attend this university?
Yeah, so actually, I never really planned on going to college as a kid.
Hmm.
That was never really in the plan, but due to kind of some circumstances that happened in high school, came sort of a necessity for me. So my plan was actually to go to UTK, and I was approved to go to kind of like a intermediate program. So I would go to a community college close to UT Knoxville.
Sure.
And after I had basically gotten my grades up and stuff like that, I would be able to be completely enrolled at UTK. But that was something that I didn't really want to do. I didn't want to go to a community college and then be approved like a year later. And so Tech was, at the time, was actually kind of, to be honest, it was probably one of my last options. But, you know, for financial reasons and for personal reasons, kind of last minute, I decided that Tech was going to be the best choice for me. Mm-hmm. And so I applied, I got accepted. And I also had, you know, one of my best friends from high school, he was going to Tech too. And so he was kind of a big inspiration in me coming to Tech because we were going to live in the dorm rooms together. And we've actually lived together the complete time I've been at Tennessee Tech. But that was kind of one of the driving factors of me coming to Tech. But when I got here, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it's an absolutely amazing school, and I couldn't be happier with my choice. So.
Oh, great. Now, what are you majoring in?
So I'm a political science major.
Okay.
With a minor in communication studies.
Great. Now, where are you from originally?
So I'm from Crossville, Tennessee. So really not that far from Tech.
Yeah. Did you go to Cumberland County or Stone Memorial?
I went to Stone Memorial.
Okay. Great. So now you are a representative on the Tennessee Higher Education Commission. Tell us a little bit about what that means and how all that came about.
Yeah, so basically as the student commissioner on the Tennessee Higher Education Commission, what I'm tasked with doing pretty much is being the student, is being a representative for all the college students in Tennessee on the board. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is basically is, you know, as a student, I bring a specific set of perspectives, I would say, to the board. And so kind of my job is basically if, you know, I think that there's students' concerns about an issue, or if I think that there needs to be student representation, basically my job is to bring that perspective to the board based on the decisions that we make.
And now, when did all this transpire? When did you become a representative or, you know, the kind of the head of that?
Yeah. So it was officially happened in June.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was I was a senator for the Student Government Association of Tennessee Tech. I started my sophomore year, and I got heavily involved with administration. We did a lot of work on parking, and Dr. Stinson, who is the vice president of planning and finance, we worked very closely together.
Mm-hmm.
On parking issues. She's an amazing lady and helped me so much. And she was also very passionate about making sure that, you know, students' concerns were met. And so when I became a senator, we found out that, you know, a lot of students were concerned about parking. And so my brother Blake, who was also a senator at the time, he kind of made that connection with Dr. Stinson. And then after he graduated, I kind of took on the role of what we were doing. But through that connection with Dr. Stinson, she actually reached out to me. I believe it was September of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Reached out to me and said that, you know, if I was interested, that basically every year the administration is tasked with nominating one student to pretty much put up for the process of becoming the student commissioner. And so she said that if I was interested, that they would love to nominate me for the role.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And so I accepted, and I was very honored that she would nominate me. As well as President Oldham. And so what I did after that was I applied for the position. I sent in a resume and application. And then we had a meeting that was supposed to be with the governor's office, pretty much to go through the process of the application. And so I actually had an internship at the Tennessee State Legislature from January. It was supposed to have went until May. But obviously, for reasons due to COVID,
yeah,
it was canceled early.
Right.
And so about a week, I would say, after I got back from the internship, which this was around March, the governor's office called me and we had the interview. And I felt like the interview went pretty good. I honestly wasn't too optimistic about it, but I felt like it went about as good as it could have went. And so Mr. Alex, who works for the governor's office, he actually was this SGA president of Tech several years ago. But he was kind of who I did the interview with. And he told me, you know, we'll get back to you within 1 to 2 weeks in letting you know whether you did get it or whether you didn't get it. But either way, you'll hear back from us, right? And so I said, okay, like, sounds great. And two weeks go by, and I didn't hear anything. So I was a little disappointed, but, you know, I wasn't upset or anything like that. And so I kind of just went on, went back to work at Crawdaddy's, which is where I've worked the entire time I've been at Tennessee Tech, and was kind of working. And one day I got a call from a Nashville number, and so I picked it up, and it was Mr. Alex again. And basically he said, hey, sorry it took so long to get back with you, but due to COVID, you know, there things have been hectic, but we just want to let you know that Governor Lee nominated you to be the student commissioner at TEC.
Great.
Yeah, and yeah. I just, words can't describe how I felt in that moment, especially after, you know, I'd already told myself that I hadn't got it, and I'd kind of came to terms with it, and then to find out that I had, it was just an amazing feeling.
So what are some of the things you've been able to do? I mean, have you, I'm sure you've sat in on a meeting or two, but I mean, like, what's your role? What can you actively do in your position?
Yeah, that's a good question. So basically, we've had one meeting so far. The board meets four times a year. So we meet in quarterly meetings. There's a spring, a summer, a winter, and a fall meeting. And so we had our fall meeting, I would say probably, I think it was 2 months ago now. But at that meeting, we approved the budget. We went over, we looked at the approval of academic programs. So what we did was universities came to us if they had a new program. And what we did was we kind of looked at what the program did, how it was going to be implemented. And so we approved several programs, but we also had a post-approval monitoring report that was given to us. And so what that is basically is whenever we approve a new academic program, it goes through a monitoring period where the Tennessee Higher Education Commission, they monitor how the program is doing, you know, whether students are getting anything out of the program, how the program is integrating with the university's mission statement, how it helps students. And so we looked at all these different factors over a course of several years. And basically, if it meets all the standards, if it aligns with the university's mission, then it'll exit post-monitoring approval, and it can become a full academic program at the university that we know that is helping students at Tennessee. And so, you know, looking at things like that as a student, I think I bring a different perspective as far as, you know, some of the other commissioners who've been out of college for several years now. I can kind of see from my perspective the way that the landscape is in universities today. And I can take that and give a different outlook on what I believe that would mean, pretty much.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's, to me, I feel like it's my role is very important because it gives a real, I would say, like, live look for the commission on how things might be working.
Right.
And I think that's really important to have, you know.
And now, with this experience, you're a political science major, you've also got communications experience. What do you plan on doing with all of this experience and your degree after you graduate from Tennessee Tech?
My plan for a long time was to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of had changed my mind on that. I would say a lot of it had to do with the internship that I went to at the beginning of this year. I think a lot of it had to do with quarantine and because of everything that's happened with COVID. You know, I've kind of reflected on a lot and thought about like what I want for my life.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I found out at the internship that I was at January of this year was I spoke with a lot of lawyers, and a lot of them told me, you know, if you don't plan on actually practicing law, that maybe there's better avenues for you to take than to go to law school. And I thought about that for a long time, and something that I never really, I guess, saw myself doing was practicing law. You know, when you're a political science major, you know, the end goal for most political science majors is to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our professors put a heavy emphasis on that, which is a good thing, because we need good lawyers. But for me, I didn't really see that as my end goal. And so as of right now, I'm not 100% sure on what, you know, what the end goal is. But I think that's okay. I think there's a lot of students like me who, you know, might, you know, have put their hand in a lot of different things, like the Student Government Association and internships and things like that. It's okay to not know exactly what you want. I think I have a general idea.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a family business, and so I think that I'm very business oriented. And I think that someday I want to get involved in business in some way. Part of me thinks that maybe that's through a nonprofit. You know, there's a lot that I think that I could help with. And so I think that a nonprofit is something that I would be passionate about. And, you know, I'm going to just kind of, you know, I'm going to start off and get a job after college, obviously. But, you know, I think my end goal is to help people in some way. And I think that might be through a nonprofit or maybe work in the government. So.
Awesome. All right. Dawson Hassler, who is a Tennessee Tech student, also on the Tennessee Higher Education Commission, student rep there for Tennessee Tech, doing a great job. And we certainly appreciate you taking time out today to be with us. And man, just keep representing Tennessee Tech the way you are.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.